Let's begin then properly with an entirely uncontroversial statement. You are never going to understand the Bible in its original context. That's okay, nor am I. And that's fine too. We are not from any of the original contexts of Scripture, which was brought home to me in preparing these thoughts by the very first words of our reading from 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. That's not a world I live in or grew up in. Though I know it has happened and does happen that people marry for reasons other than love, it's not been my experience, it's not something I've lived, nor that of most people who have shared my life as far as I know. And then that passage goes on. We have the obvious disappointment that the authors, or probably the later editors known as the Deuteronomists, have about sacrifices taking place in the high places, and that even Solomon did that. The text says it's because no house, or as we'd call it, temple, had yet been built. But there is still within it some sadness implicit in people having to offer their sacrifices anywhere other than the temple in Jerusalem. I know that because I know from my theological education that the high places were altars built on various hilltops around Israel, including a massive one at Gibeon, where, according to today's story, Solomon had his dream, where God asks what he wants. And we know the myth that goes with that. He doesn't ask for long life or riches, but for wisdom. I also know that, because Jewish theologian Robert Alter explains, that nighttime dreams were considered the basic currency of divine revelation, a kind of lower tier way of God speaking to people. Which is funny, because if that's the case, I've had an awful lot of recipes sent to me by God in the last few days, because I keep thinking about how I'm going to confit garlic and all that kind of weird stuff I've been discovering lately. Anyway, that's something. I'm also aware that in these books, the narrative moves from pseudo-historical to mythical to vision to pseudo-historical and back and forth and around again. So I know about all of this, but I don't know this, not deep in my bones. I don't know it in the instinctive way that I know what a phone or a TV or a book is. Things which I have daily experience of, which our ancient forebears would be, I'm sure, surprised, astounded, and even shocked by. And this is okay. I am not an ancient Hebrew. I'm a slightly ancient English person. I have not experienced exile or making sacrifices in the temple. I have not owned slaves or been a slave or been beat up by Roman soldiers. I have never had a king with what is effectively absolute control over my life. I can know about these things because of my reading of history and scripture, but I cannot know them. And I say all of this because all of us can only begin to understand these ancient scriptures when we learn about them from others, from reading, and when we discuss them in community, beginning from that place of humility, of being willing to learn what our scriptures may or may not be saying, rather than using our Bibles to try and prove whatever opinion the latest so-called Christian social media influencer has told us to have, or what pastors and priests have selectively chosen to try and manipulate us into. I know I've said this recently, but I'm going to say it again. Every act of opening a Bible is an act of interpretation. As we filter our own reading of the scriptures through our own experience, through our learning, our culture, our history, our biases, our inability to read the original languages of scripture, well, most of us anyway, and I include myself in that. I know I am biased when I open the Bible. And the most difficult thing for me is to try and work out what those biases are and whether I am just looking for confirmation of them or whether I'm willing to have my biases and opinions challenged when I read these ancient words and whether I am willing to challenge them back. The most dangerous people in this Christian world are those who believe, this Christian world in which we inhabit, are those who believe that their reading of the Bible is the one, the true, the definitive reading. Usually one verse at a time. Usually to back up their own cultural or identity politic bias. It's such readings of Scripture that can ignore vast swathes of the text, which tell us to take care of the most vulnerable and marginalized and and the abandoned and the excluded, the immigrant, whilst at the same time, having ignored all of that, obsess about things which the original writers knew nothing about. Stable, faithful, same-gendered relationships, for instance, or abortion, or gender fluidity. It's these kind of readings that lead to Christian nationalism, or as someone called it recently, white supremacy and Bible drag. Our responsibility is to examine ourselves and think about how we approach these texts and to recognize our own relationship with them. And if we don't, if we are just dipping our toe into the water and don't regularly use these texts for our own guidance, as I know many do not, being aware of the contents and contexts of these scriptures allow us to challenge those who would use the Bible to oppress, to exclude, to elevate viewpoints which seek to condemn and control people for how they look, who they love, their gender identity, or their racial and cultural background. And just because we can never know the original context, and we will never get the unvarnished original truth, whatever that may be, from our scriptures, we can still find within them repeated themes and ideas of justice and equity, of love, of challenge to those who would use force to dominate others. And we find principles of love, of affirmation, and of grace again and again that encourages me to recognize that I am seeking to interpret Scripture through the lens of love, which I believe to be the key calling of our Bibles, which means I'm going to do something I would not normally do and quote something out of context from our second reading, knowing that this verse is backed up by a vast majority of the scriptures. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.